Welcome back, Thirst for Knowledge. This is episode 4. I have with me William.
Hey, how's it going?
And John.
Hello.
John, you're so excited.
Dude, I'm really excited.
Talk about magic.
Magic cards.
Did you guys get to watch the Grand Prix up in New Jersey?
Unfortunately. Busy weekend. I really wanted to, though.
Some really good magic. And I want to go ahead and send out a special congratulations to a local player here, Philip Braverman, for taking 5th place with Miracles. All right, Willie, you want to go over those decks? The top 8?
Top 8, yeah, sure. So, first place, we had Blue, White, Red, Stoneblade, piloted by BBD. Second place, Tom Ross is running Infect. He's been running that deck for quite a while now. Third place, we had Storm. Fourth place, Miracles. Fifth place, Miracles. Again, Philip Braverman came in 5th place with Miracles. 6th place, Blue, Red, Delver. You know, we're seeing a whole lot of Treasure Cruise now. 7th place was Metal Worker, and 8th place was a Blue-Red Standstill deck, which I really like Standstill. It's a fun card, so props to that.
Standstill's a lot of fun. My only experience with it is seeing it in Merfolk.
Yeah.
But a Landstill deck does seem like a lot of fun. I'm not really surprised to see it with all the Treasure Cruises running around.
Exactly.
I wish you'd gotten a chance to watch some of the finals. Like, Treasure Cruise, that card's making a big impact. The only reason I think Tom Ross lost that game is because of Treasure Cruise.
Just couldn't keep up with the card advantage?
No. I mean, like, he would get withered down, and then Treasure Cruise would just ink out such an advantage. Mm-hmm. I mean, BBD, I think in the final game, resolved 3 of them. It's not really very fair. And yeah, watching Tom Ross play Infect is on a whole nother level. The guy is, he's just a house with that deck. Some of the plays that he makes, like the patience he can demonstrate with it.
It's pretty important when you're playing Infect. You can't go all in.
Yeah, especially when you're playing a deck like Stoneblade.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, Infect's just ridiculous.
Infect is really dangerous. I mean, I was talking with you the other day about when Infect was in Standard, and it's just, I mean, every time that's in there, it's just a nightmare. Last time, thankfully, he was only in for a couple months, but god, this is miserable.
It's just not fun to play against, in my opinion. You just win out of nowhere, it feels like.
Yeah, that may be it. Like, I don't have a very big problem playing against things like Burn or combo decks, but for some reason there's just something about Infect that just rubs me the wrong way.
Well, I really only play against it anymore and whenever I'm playing Modern, so I guess it's a little different in Modern than it would be in Legacy. In Legacy, it seems safer. I mean, you have access to Force of Will and all sorts of free counters to kind of protect your spells and your creatures. So.
Tom Ross is running 3 Force of Wills in 3 days. The card I really liked in his deck, though, that I haven't really seen, is Crop Rotation. So there was a really interesting play, though, where he swung with an Ink Moth Nexus, and he thought he was going to be able to essentially save it by Crop Rotating the Ink Moth away and getting another Ink Moth Nexus. And the Crop Rotation ended up getting dazed, and he kind of got blown out. But it was a really neat play.
Yes, interesting. Obviously works.
He did have a really cool card in there. He had a single copy of Become Immense. That's the 5 and a green delve. Target creature gets +6/+6 until end of turn.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty brutal.
I can get there.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Did you want to go over the Standstill deck?
Not really. I don't okay. Feel like I know enough about the list to talk about it.
That's fine. All right, so we also had a Modern Grand Prix that happened in Madrid. I don't really think I like what Modern's turned into.
Blue-Red Delver.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a huge proponent of Modern ever since it was basically conceived, and this is just kind of getting inbred and redundant.
I mean, how do you beat, we talk about it all the time, but Treasure Cruise is just really good.
I think it's just too much of an advantage. And I mean, I don't see how Treasure Cruise can be legal when things like Ancestral Visions are banned.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, Treasure Cruise can fire off the same turn, if not earlier.
But most of the time, you're holding it until you can cast it on one turn. Until you can just cast over one blue, so.
Yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous.
I don't remember, was Ancestral Visions banned originally, or was that more related to, like, Bloodbraid Elf?
I'm trying to think. I cannot remember, actually. I think it was banned before there was concern with that. I'm gonna check.
Ugh, Gitaxian Probe. That art's so creepy. So while you're checking on that, though, the winning deck was Bug Delver, running 4 Tarmogoyf, 4 Young Pyromancer, and 4 Delver of Secrets.
You say Bug?
It was Rug Delver.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's a little different.
A little bit. Let's see. And yeah, I mean, 4 Treasure Cruise. It's just, the card's just a house. Interestingly, though, outside of that.
Sorry.
You're good.
Oh, he's back.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Ricky's kind of just going over some of the decks right now. And we're just talking about Treasure Cruise.
Yeah, we were just talking about how broken the card is. I mean, there wasn't very many copies of Treasure Cruise in the top 8. There was actually more Siege Rhinos than there were Treasure Cruises.
And Modern.
In the top 8, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the deck that ended up winning did have a full playset, so I'm not sure what that says.
I think it's just going to take some time for everybody to move away from it, but I don't think it'll need a ban.
Okay, so let's go ahead and go into our main topic. I know you have to go early tonight, Willie, so we're going to go over Dredge.
Yes, sir.
So the Boogeyman of Legacy.
The Boogeyman.
That is a scary, scary deck. I don't like seeing it across the table from me any more than anybody else, but it's an important deck. Easily, easily hated out, don't get me wrong, but a very dangerous deck when you're not prepared for it.
I think that's the one redeeming thing about Dredge. Like, yeah, it's very easily hated out, but if people just don't prepare for it at any given tournament, Dredge can take it down. Dredge has a good shot if people forget about Dredge.
Yes. Just so like
one of you guys want to explain what Dredge is for some of our listeners.
So Dredge is a deck that's based around a mechanic with the namesake Dredge, where instead of drawing a card, you can return a card in your graveyard with Dredge on it and mill that many cards. So for instance, we have Golgari Grave Troll, which has Dredge 6. So if you were to brainstorm, you can place one of your draws by sticking 6 cards from top of your library into your graveyard, and then return the Grave Troll to your hand. It was originally meant as a downside and a negative thing, but it kind of broke Magic. Because when you're playing against a Dredge player, it does not feel very fair. You're playing Magic, he's playing something completely different. In fact, the deck that just took down the Legacy Open, piloted by Joseph Marino on the 2nd of November, there was a point in time where, for a large chunk of the game in Game 1, he had no lands out. He still managed to win that game, through 2 dazes, nonetheless.
He was playing Dredge?
He was playing Dredge.
What version?
He was playing a very interesting version. My experience with Dredge has always been almost combo-esque, but let's see. His creatures, he had 4 Golgari Grave Troll, 4 Golgari Thug, 4 Ikrid, 4 Nakramiva, 3 Putrid Imp, and 4 Stinkweed Imp.
Was he not running any Nether Shadows?
He was not running any Nether Shadows. I think that Nether Shadow has a bit fallen to the wayside.
Really?
Yeah. So generally I'm used to decks that run things like Flamekin Zealot. Here, let's go over the main engine first. We've got Bridge from Below, which is one of the key things that makes this deck run. It's an enchantment for 3 black, although it doesn't do anything that's in play. It says whenever a non-token creature is put into your graveyard from play, if Bridge from Below is in your graveyard, put a 2/2 black zombie into play. And then if an opponent's creature dies, Bridge from Below gets exiled. That is run with great effect with Ikrid, which is a 3/1 for 4 in haste. At the end of turn, you sack it. But at the beginning of your upkeep, if Ikrid's in your graveyard, you can remove a black creature card from your graveyard, put it in play.
Yeah, that's very good. Various versions of Dredge use Bridge from Below and target different creatures, but Ikrid's a staple of that deck in Legacy. Any format, you can play Ikrid in the Dredge deck, usually play it. There's other key creatures that kind of work with the theme, which is taking cards off the top of your deck and activating Bridge from Below from cards that come to the battlefield from the graveyard.
Yes. The other big one that's usually a staple is Nakramiva.
You have to have Nakramiva.
Yeah.
Generally.
Nakramiva is a 1/1 flyer for 1 and a blue, and when it's put into your graveyard from the library, you can put it into play. So when it's dredged away, it triggers and goes onto the battlefield instead. So it's a free creature. It fuels a lot of the engine here.
Some of the engine being Dread Return, you know, you dredge away, Dread Return. And, its flashback cost is sacrifice 3 creatures. Well, conveniently, you can, you know, hit a big dredge and dredge a few Nakramivas away and get free creatures to then, return target creature from a graveyard to the battlefield with Dread Return, so. Get to reanimate. Also, Cabal Therapy, you know, has a flashback of sacrifice a creature, so you know you're getting to play all these spells for free from free creatures off the top of your graveyard, off the top of your library.
And Cabal Therapy, so it's 1 black mana. You can name a non-land card, target player reveals his or her hand, and discards all cards with that name. And then obviously the flashback where you sack a creature. But that card requires a very firm understanding of the format. You have to know what you're looking for in your opponent's hand, or else you can whiff a lot.
It's not necessarily a bad thing to whiff, generally. It's obviously better if you hit something, but...
Yeah. And, I mean, you can also Cabal Therapy yourself. Don't mean to keep going back to the game with Joseph Marino, but there was a time where he had two thugs in his hand, and he Cabal Therapied himself and stuck two dredgers in to help fight through a Death Rate Shaman that was on the other side of the table.
So thug.
Yeah, Cabal Therapying yourself isn't bad, because if you... honestly, the worst seven cards in Dredge usually is the cards in your hand. So being able to get the key pieces you need out of your hand into the graveyard is super important. Drawing a Bridge from Below is terrible. Like, absolutely feels the worst. But being able to get into the graveyard in a multitude of different ways is really helpful. Yeah.
Such as Phantasmagorian.
Phantasmagorian.
It's a long name.
Another key card. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I bet none of you guys can spell that. No, there's no way. Just don't.
I can, because I'm looking at it.
Congratulations, Willie.
Willie's a cheater. We've all known this for a very long time.
It's true.
So another staple card is Putrid Imp. It's a 1-1 for a 1 black. You can discard a card from your hand to give it flying. It has Threshold that gives it +1/+1 and can't block, but it allows you to get treasures into your graveyard. And also, it's sometimes having a flyer is very key in the deck. And then also it's just good fodder for sacking way up to things like Dread Return or Cabal Therapy and getting zombie tokens. The Dredge deck is very capable. It's not consistent, but the Dredge deck is capable of turn 2 kills.
What's your big win? So we're dredging. We want to obviously, Dread Return something, but what's your win going to be?
The deck that I'm familiar with running is it gets back Flamekin Zealot. So you sack away a bunch of creatures, get a bunch of zombie tokens, and then if you stack your triggers correctly, the zombies come into play, then the Flamekin Zealot comes into play, they all get a boost, go up to 3/3s, and then get haste, and you can swing in for the kill. Hypothetically, it's possible on turn 1, but it's much more likely to see that on turn 2.
Yeah, I used to play Dredge in the format that was previously a format, Extended. and we always dredged for Flamekin Zealot. Like, I was always looking for Flamekin Zealot with Dread Return to win the game. That was primarily how was my main plan to win.
Yeah. Another one is Flare of the Hate Bound, which is a neat combo piece with Golgari Grave Troll. It's a 4/2 with Undying that whenever a creature enters battlefield from your graveyard, creature deals damage equal to its power to target creature player. So you can, like, Dread Return the Flare out, bring back a large Grave Troll, and just kill your opponent. Or, I mean, you can even do it for value, bring out the Flare, sack the Flare to Cabal Therapy, and then you've dealt 9 damage just off the Flare.
Yeah, I really like Flare.
See, I like Flare, but, I don't know. I don't like looking at that card. It just seems like in any other deck, it would be absolutely the worst card in your 60. But, like, it does work. I mean, I've definitely seen multiple people and killed multiple people with Flare of the Hatebound triggers, so.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you're not really playing Magic. Dredge has a tendency to make cards that are awful and Magic really good outside. For instance, Lion's Eye Diamond. Lion's Eye Diamond was not worth the paper it was printed on for a very long time. And then Dredge comes along and all of a sudden, this is a $60, $70 card. It's a 0-mana artifact. You can sacrifice it and you discard your hand. You get 3 mana of any color, 2 mana pool. So for a long time it was looked at as like a really bad Black Lotus.
Whack Lotus.
Whack Lotus? That just happened,
yep.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it essentially is, except for it takes care of that problem where all the cards in your hand are the cards you need in your graveyard, so running Lion's Eye Diamonds or LEDs, as all the cool kids say, is pretty important in Legacy Dredge.
Yeah, and it combos perfectly with Faithless Looting.
With Faithless Looting? How does that work? Before you discard, you crack it?
So you can crack it, and then the Faithless Looting just happens to have flashback for 2 and a red.
Ah, okay, perfect.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of times, like, some of the most powerful plays will be when you have an LED in hand and a Faithless Looting on turn 1. For instance, in game 3 with Joseph Marano, in game 3 we saw him play a land, play a Lotus Petal, crack the petal, Faithless Looting, dredge away, and then crack the LED, play the flashback on it. He managed to dump out half of his library into his graveyard on turn 1.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
I mean, it was very bold of him.
I mean, that's kind of the deck, though. You have to be bold with Dredge. You kind of have to just go for it and hope that they can't beat what you're doing. It's very solitaire Magic, and sometimes you just gotta go for it And usually with combo decks, the quicker that you think you can reliably get off, the better. It is also important to point out that the ability dredge can be used off anything that lets you draw a card and not just the first draw of your turn.
Yes. Anytime you would draw a card, you can replace the draw with dredge.
Yes. So if you have three dredges in your graveyard and you brainstorm, you can replace all three draws with a dredge.
Because right. Draw three reads, draw a card, draw a card, draw a card. So you guys want to transition into speaking about another variation of dredge, that being Manaless Dredge?
Absolutely.
Yep. All right, so one of the decks I put together recently I've been playing around with is Manaless Dredge, and it runs kind of the same core, except you don't have any lands or any source of generating mana. So no LEDs or Lotus Petals. You're really just dumping your library into your graveyard, and you start out by doing that by hopefully being on the draw, drawing a card, and then passing your turn, moving to discard, and discarding a dredger. So if anyone's ever playing against you and wins the die roll and wants to be on the draw, there's a good chance they're on Manaless Dredge.
Yes. I can't think of any other deck that you would see that in.
So the main way to the main win con for this deck is Balustrade Spy, which is the Gatecrash Vampire, which is a 2/3 for 4, 3 colorless and a black. He's flying whenever Balustrade Spy enters the battlefield. Target player reveals cards from the top of his or her library until he or she reveals a land card, then puts those cards into his or her graveyard. You target yourself, and considering you're not running any lands, you're going to dump your entire graveyard into your entire library into your graveyard. So there you go. Have fun with that. And then,
so how does
because
that
you've
win?
Done that, well, sorry, since you've done that, you have 4 Narcomoebas in your deck, and hopefully you didn't draw into 2 of your Narcomoebas or whatever. Hopefully you'll have Narcomoebas entering into the battlefield. You'll have Bridge from Below's in your graveyard, so you can then, like, sacrifice an Narcomoeba to Cabal Therapy somebody, do another Dread Return, so you'll get a ton of zombies from Bridge from Below. Then you can reanimate a Flare of the Hatebound. You'll have a ton of creatures in your graveyard, so you can hit, then you can, reanimate a Grave Troll and hit for, like, 20 damage to the face.
Alright, so let's go over a little bit on how to fight against the deck and how to fight against the hate for the deck. The most scary thing in the world to see on the other side of the table when you're playing Dredge.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace is pretty scary. And Grafdigger's Cage.
Yeah.
Rest in peace and Grafdigger's is just horrifying. Because, I mean, if you're on the play, there's a good chance that their Rest in Peace is just far too slow. Even at 2 mana, it's just, you can be dead long before that ever comes out.
Depending on the Dredge variant you're playing.
Yes. And if you are playing the Dredge deck and you see some of these hate cards coming in against you, you have to be a lot more patient with the deck. For instance, if you see things like, God, I can't remember my cards. If you see things like Relic of Progenitus and Tormod's Crypt, you have to kind of bait them into triggering them before they normally would.
Absolutely.
Because with those cards, it is really important to get as much of the graveyard as possible, so you have to kind of make your graveyard look more appealing than it actually is and kind of save up cards in your hand.
And that's a good thing to think about when you're playing against a deck like Dredge, is if you are using some of those non-continuous effects of dealing with their graveyard, you really do have to be careful about when you actually try to stop them from doing anything else.
Absolutely.
And if you are the Dredge player and you're seeing some of these against you, obviously a very good answer is Abrupt Decay. But if you dredge that card away, it's not going to do you any good.
I think the correct term is scoop them up.
Yeah, I mean,
next game.
That is a real problem with the deck. You know, if people bring in the right hate cards against you, you really don't have much you can do.
You just got to beat them before they get their cards, obviously.
Abrupt Decay is your best friend. Let's see. Another really big one against you, 2 creatures. We've got Scavenging Ooze and Deathrite Shaman.
Deathrite Shaman especially, and Legacy. It's just bad. It's really hard to win against a turn 1 Deathrite sometimes. Unless you can dump like a few dredgers into your graveyard at once, you know?
Yes. Deathrite does a really good job of shutting down the creatures and taking away your dredge opportunities. Scavenging Ooze is arguably just as scary, if not scarier.
Yeah, it probably is more scary.
Because it can get rid of your Bridge from Below.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with both of those, though, you do have the opportunity to tap your opponent out and then go off despite those being on the table. And then a good option that also helps you dredge and get rid of them simultaneously is Firestorm. So for one red, you choose and discard X cards. Firestorm deals X damage to each of target X. Sorry. Choose and discard X cards. Firestorm deals X damage to each of X target creatures and or players.
That seems pretty good.
It's important to note, though, that you have to have a target for each card you discard.
Let's see.
So if you want to blow up somebody's Deathrite Shaman and that's all they have on the table, you have to discard two cards. One for the player and one for the Deathrite Shaman. And then you can't just discard a third one just because.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Unless you do it to yourself, right?
Yes, you could also do that.
Okay.
Which, I mean, Dredge doesn't really care very much about its life usually. It's trying to win way before anybody else. So the art in that card is kind of depressing.
Yeah, it's pretty scary looking.
That lioness is just kind of watching all those people over there get really f***ed up.
It's pretty sad.
So, Willie, have you had any success with this deck?
I beat John a lot with it. I haven't really played in it. I don't really... It's not a deck I'd want to play in, like, a big tournament. But just... I don't like losing because somebody has, like, one hate card that they draw into.
That's fair.
But it's a fun deck for just, you know, messing around, maybe take it to FNMs or casual Legacy events.
That's fair. The Dredge players you typically see at events are, like, devoted Dredge players. People who it's what they constantly run. You don't see people jumping on and off of it very often.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you see a weak spot in the meta that leaves this deck open, I highly suggest it because it can just absolutely run people over.
Well, unfortunately, in my opinion, now that you see Treasure Cruise a lot, there's a lot of graveyard hate because people don't want people dredging or delving. So I think Dredge is going to be getting some splash hate from that.
Possibly, but I think you see less things like Grafdigger's Cage. If you start seeing things like Leyline of the Void, though, there's not really much you can do.
Yeah, Leyline of the Void is kind of in a house against Dredge ever since it came out, so that's not really changing.
Yeah, that turn one is probably just you dead.
Yeah, you're pretty dead.
I've had mixed results with the deck. I'm lucky enough to play in an area that does have a lot of Legacy going on, so I've gotten to play it quite a bit. And I really like the deck. Again, I am afraid of just being able to get hated out of a format, and I don't really find it too appealing to go to a Grand Prix, pay $50 to enter, and then round two just get stomped because the guy happens to have Leylines of the Void.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those decks. I mean, Dredge, like you were saying, like, when somebody starts playing it, they usually don't come off of it. And, like, the people who play Dredge really like playing Dredge. So I think Dredge, to me, is one of the, like, funnest decks that you can possibly play in Magic. But I definitely can understand that. Like, sometimes you're just going to get wrecked, and that's just how it goes. Like, the deck has no chance against some cards in the game. But if that wasn't the case, then the deck would probably be too good.
Arguably, though, the deck probably is a little bit too good.
Dredge is too good?
I don't think Dredge is too good. I think that...
You can hate it out well enough.
Yeah, you can hate it out pretty easily, and I think Dredge gets a lot of flack from a lot of people who don't play Dredge, because they're not really getting to play Magic as much, and people kind of get all hurt about that. But plenty of other combo decks do the same thing, and people like, oh, I hate Dredge. I just hope that no one plays Dredge. Or like me and William were at a card shop here in town, and he was like, what Legacy decks are you guys playing? And William was like, oh, I'm playing Manaless Dredge. And he's like, oh, you dick. I mean, people have... like, a disdain for Dredge more than a lot of other things. So, really, I mean, I'd much rather play against Dredge than, like, something like Tendrils or something like that. I don't like playing... Those decks, I just don't even think are as fun to watch happen to me. But I like to play against Dredge, and I like Dredge. And I think that it's not too overpowered. I kind of went on a rant there, but it's not overpowered. It's just perfect. It's not perfect, but it's good.
Yeah, I think... I mean, Dredge does have it's very stigmatized. I don't know, people really hate seeing it, they hate playing against it, they hate getting... Because, I mean, you do tend, like, if you're going to lose to Dredge, it's not going to be a close fight.
No.
You are going to get destroyed.
Yeah, most Dredge games aren't close.
Unless you're like Ikarid beats.
Yeah, that's true. If you get on the, if you have to play the 3-1 attacker game, then it can be pretty close.
I have seen that happen before, where the Dredge player managed to turn one, get out two Ikarids, and then the next turn, a Leyline, oh not a Leyline, I'm sorry. The next turn, a Rest in Peace at the table, and the player lost to two Ikarids in the air.
Oh yeah, that can definitely happen. You can definitely lose to Ikarid. It still has three toughness, I mean three power, and getting hit for three or six every turn, you're dead real quick, so.
I'm sorry. He lost to two Narcomoebas in the air, not Ikarids in the air. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, well, I mean, that's a little rare, but definitely you can get on those weird kind of like beatdown games. I think that's one thing that people who are new to Dredge should think about is like, oh,
I have to combo off every time.
You don't have to combo off every time. Sometimes your 3-1s, your 1-1 flyers, and your 2-2 zombies will just get you there.
Yeah. So it's a very fun deck. I highly recommend it to anybody that's considering it. It can be a very expensive deck if you want to go the full LED version, but like Willie said, the manaless version's very powerful, very strong alternative, and it's very cheap.
I wouldn't say very cheap, but it's cheap.
It's pretty cheap.
When compared to other Legacy decks.
Yes. Well, in the grand scheme of Legacy, it's a very cheap deck.
Yes.
I mean, I think my Enchantress deck nowadays, that's not even tier 1, and I think that's worth well over 2 grand, I think. It's,
sure.
Legacy is getting very, very expensive.
That's a whole nother topic. So, Riggy, do we have a pack to give away today?
We do. Hang tight 1 second, let me grab that pack.
Do you ever feel like they don't make magic cards like they used to, Bill?
They don't make magic cards like they used to.
Like, a lot of magic cards are just, like, rawly powerful now, and they're not, like, fun.
Yeah.
Like, think of, like, what's good right now. Something that draws you 3 cards, and undercosted 5/5 draining gains 3.
Yeah.
Like, cards are just good. I miss cards like Greater Gargon and, like, Swan's Bernardo. Like, that deck was cool, and, like, playing cards like Knuckle V was cool, and like, I miss when Million Colossus was a really good card, because that's like just a really good beatdown creature, but I don't know.
Creatures are getting really good.
Yeah, it just seems like everything's so efficient now, and not as much like creative design going into cards.
Yeah.
Alright, so we do have a winner for this first pack.
Awesome.
Did I win it?
You did not, sir.
Oh.
That would probably be some kind of illegal.
Illegal? No.
That's nerd illegal, probably.
That's nerd. You're breaking the nerd law.
Breaking nerd code, bud.
So our winner for the pack is at Flaming Sheep MTG. Congratulations.
Congratulations!
Congratulations!
When you get the pack, if you'd be so kind as to tweet us and let us know what you got, it'd be greatly appreciated.
And if you didn't get anything good, it's because Ricky probably mapped the box in. Just kidding.
No, we should have some good things going out. However, for the next week, I do have another pack to give out. We have an entire box to go through. But I want to set something for us. When we hit 100 followers on Twitter, I have a very special prize. I have a Planeswalker, Soren the Solemn Visitor.
That can I win that?
To one of our followers. no, you cannot win that.
The hell, Ricky?
This is only for our followers. I mean, he's a pretty key card right now in Standard. It's a nice prize to somebody for being a follower.
For sure.
Alright, so I will send that pack out. Now I want to open a pack.
Alright, just open a pack.
Just open a pack.
So, this is from my grab bag for drafts.
Before you open the pack, can we do our favorite segment?
Oh, God.
Who would win in a drinking contest? Ricky versus one? The magic card. Yes, I have one.
Okay, you have what?
This is a pretty easy one, though. So my card is Giant Strength from the Legends. The Legends set. Giant Strength from the Legends. Doesn't want that card
from the Legends set?
Yes, Giant Strength.
Oh, God, I'm scared.
Oh, I think I know what this is. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
He looks like that dude. He looks like he can put away some alcohol.
That dude would whip Ricky's ass at a drinking contest.
The guy to me looks pretty short though. He's like a pretty small guy. Yeah. He's pretty jacked.
He's definitely a dwarf, and they're known for their drinking abilities, so.
There you go, Ricky. So I'm sorry, so you're gonna have to go to this guy, so you, it's your first loss.
The first L for Ricky.
Yep.
Giant strength.
He's 2-1.
This doesn't even have power or toughness.
Target creature gains +2/+2, and that wasn't Ricky today, guys.
Alright, I don't think any of you guys could possibly beat this guy in a drinking contest. He looks like
that's
he has put away a lot
of
drinks.
That's not what this segment is about, Ricky.
I mean, even the guy from Weatherlight and from Vintage Masters. Look at him. He's freaking picking up a tree to save some guy.
That's true, and that guy he's saving is you, because you guys, because you drank too much and you fell off your tree.
There you go.
Alright, Ricky, open your pack.
Open your pack.
So we have a very special pack out of my grab bag. We have
how special is it?
A pack of Gatecrash.
Why is it special?
It's a pack of Gatecrash. It's a fantastic set, maybe.
I think that set was fun because that's the set that was out when we went to Charlotte together.
Yeah, GP Charlotte.
GP Charlotte, yeah. That was a lot of fun. That was a good limited set.
Yeah.
So let's see, so I don't think anybody's gonna remember any of these cards. We've got Gutter Skulk. Disciple the Old Ways, Scatter Arc. Okay, I'm done with the commons. That was boring. Oh, we got totally lost with Flibblip.
Oh yeah, I'll get all Flibblip.
Oh man. The rares in this set were so great. We've got Biomass Mutation.
Oh
wow, tell us what that does, Ricky.
X, Simic, Simic. Creatures you control become XX until end of turn. It's an instant.
Didn't you try to make a deck around this card on time, Ricky?
No, I did not.
Well, that can be really useful for cutting up and making a collage out of.
I mean, in limited, the card's pretty fun.
Oh gosh,
I did run it.
Oh,
limited.
Definitely cool in limited. Sure. I would play that card.
So, I mean, you get a couple creatures. The game runs long, and it just gives you a good way to break through. And I mean, if
what's up now?
If your opponent doesn't
smash.
Block, sorry.
I was just saying, what's up now? Smashy, smashy.
I mean, you can really punish your opponent in limited for not blocking.
For sure.
I mean, you know, sometimes you don't need to block. okay. So yeah, so we've got Soren Solemn Visitor when we reach 100 followers on Twitter. That should be fun.
How many do we have right now, Ricky?
Our Twitter account just went up not too long ago at the beginning of this week. Right now we've got 5.
Oh wow. Look at us.
And where can they follow us at if they're looking at the Twitter, website right now?
We are T for K Podcast, Thirst for Knowledge. So the letter T, the number 4, the letter K, podcast on Twitter. You can also find us the same way on iTunes and at Podomatic. I've been having some fun with the mapping in this. I can see actually where our views and our listens are coming from.
Yeah.
So like worldwide, we've had one play from Spain, which I find fun for some strange reason.
Where are we on Podomatic again?
Podomatic, let's see, if they want to find us, it's T4K Podcast with an S .podomatic.com.
Podcasts?
Yeah, like plural. I'm going to try to get that fixed, but unfortunately there's an S in there for some strange reason.
Podomatic.com?
Yes. .podomatic.com. So we're actually going up in the ranks on there though. We've got 100, we're at 180th place out of Games and Hobbies.
Wait, on Podomatic?
Yeah.
Why are people listening to us?
Yes, they are.
How many downloads have we had, Ricky?
Today we had, well actually I can't see for today. Yesterday we had 3 downloads, but I mean that's for an episode that's a week old.
Are people saying we suck ass?
No, they're not.
Are they saying anything?
Are there comments? Are there any comments?
They're not saying a whole lot, which is, it's not a good thing and it's not a bad thing necessarily. So we should go ahead and wrap things up though. I know Willie needs to get out of here soon. Willie, any shoutouts?
No shoutouts.
No shoutouts. John, any shoutouts to anybody?
Yeah, I'm gonna give a shout out to my boy J.R. Henderson he just had his birthday, so happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, J.R. And I do want to give a shout out actually, Coke Zero Vanilla.
Yep.
It's delicious.
Definitely a shout out to Coke Zero Vanilla.
I'm kind of concerned that every time we do shout outs it involves food with you two.
Look.
No, that's a beverage, Ricky.
It is a beverage.
It's a beverage, okay.
Hmm.
Shout out to Blistex, you know, medicated lip balm, because it's cold out there and dry.
It is cold, it's dry.
It's very cold.
Lips stay chapped.
Do you see Buffalo, New York got like 6 feet of snow?
Oh.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, they have almost gotten their entire year's worth of snow in a couple days.
Damn.
Yeah, they're getting hammered up there.
Oh yeah, well, sucks to live up there.
I actually really like it up there. I used to go up there all the time when I was driving.
That sounds like a really boring place to be.
It's very southern for some reason. Like,
yeah,
the farther north you go, for some reason it starts to get really southern.
Oh, those, like, weird, like, hillbilly spots and, like, random places you didn't know.
Yeah.
There would be a bunch of hillbillies.
I had to drop a guy off one time, and he had to be drop him off at a barn.
No, oh, well, you probably shouldn't have picked that guy up off the road.
No, he was helping me with a job, but, yeah.
Oh, what kind of job?
What kind of job was that, Ricky?
Oh, shit.